bid you all good morning and give you a very hearty welcome to this morning worship service that is coming to you from the pulpit of Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church. We are delighted to have you all gathering with us by means of sermon audio and Facebook Live, and those also in the car park of the church who are able to come along and listen in and watch on as well by the means that we have provided. And so I welcome you everyone in the Lord's great name. And we're glad today that we're able to gather together by these means and worship our God. Could we bow together and let us just unite our hearts in prayer before we enter into our service. Our Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee just now. We bow down in Thy presence in the name of Thy well-beloved Son. We are thankful for one who has gone within the veil as our forerunner, who even now is the very embodiment of intercession on behalf of His people. We thank Thee that on that ground of redemption we may draw nigh, that by the finished work we may approach Thee. We ask, O Lord, that Thou wilt come and touch our hearts today and breathe on us from the throne above. Even as we gather to worship our God, bless everyone around a particular device in home or in the car park here, and may the Word of God be of great value, great power, great blessing as it goes forth. And so, Lord, abide with us. Give us help from heaven as we continue now in our worship of the living God. For this we pray in Christ's name and for His eternal praise. Amen and amen. We want to continue our reading in the Gospel of Mark, and we come today to conclude chapter 15. And so we're turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and the reading we will pick up at verse number 33. And we come into verses here that take us right to Calvary, to the cross of our Savior. And may the Lord bless the word as we read. Mark 15, 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable man, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his own word for his name's sake. Amen. Our opening praise today is Psalm 25, and we'll be singing verses 1 through to 10. The words will be on your screens, and we trust the Lord will bless as we sing together from the words of Psalm number 25.
Thank you.
again. What wonderful words in that psalm, and so encouraging to our hearts as we think about our God and his care for his people. We will again unite our hearts in prayer. Let's lift up our souls now to the Lord and seek him with all of our hearts. And O God and Father, we thank thee for the reminder in these words of thy care for thy people. And it's unto thee that we now lift up our souls. We do so in adoration and in praise. We come to the living God. We come to the triune God, the one who has revealed himself unto men through the Holy Scriptures. Lord, we realize and we fully recognize that unless thou hadst spoken, then we would not know that thou art. And yet we rejoice today that we have thy word, we have it in our hands, it has been preserved for us. And as we read it, we see thee, we come to know thee, we have thee set before us on the page of Scripture. And we thank thee, O Lord, for the revelation of the three in one and the one in three. We thank thee for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the Trinity of divine persons who from all eternity have dwelt in that blessed fellowship that they alone are able to enjoy and possess in that realm that is far beyond our earthly realm, far beyond our human level. And, O Lord, how marvelous it is, nonetheless, that you condescend to meet with men and to draw near to them through the person and the work of the Redeemer, the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior and the only Deliverer of souls. And Lord, it's on the basis of his person and his work that we now come to thee and that we bow down and worship. We thank thee that even in the midst of all that is happening in our day and times, we have the assurance that God is and God has spoken, and that he reigns and rules, and that he loves sinners with an everlasting love, that he sent his Son to bear away their sin in his own body to the tree, that Christ came willingly and he voluntarily took the guilt of sin upon him, and he, the just, died for the unjust in order to bring us to God. We thank thee for redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, peace with thee, everlasting life. We thank thee that Christ, who lived that perfect life, died that atoning death, and was buried, yet rose again, and ascended to glory. And there, as our great high priest, he continually ministers on our behalf. We thank thee, O Lord, that he has gone within the veil as our forerunner. And Lord, we pray that for his sake thou wilt remember thy dear people. For you cannot look upon the Redeemer and not see the redeemed. And O Lord, we therefore know that we are accepted in the Beloved and that we have peace with God. Lord, I pray today that as we gather unto thee, as soon the word of God will be opened up and thy servant will preach it, that there will be a sense of thy power. There will be that divine help and assistance given. And, O Lord, we pray that souls will be stirred and God will be on the move and the Spirit will come down. And, O Lord, thou wilt take the things of Christ and show them to us and bring them with freshness and power to our hearts and bring over our minds and our souls this day a real sense of thy nearness, a consciousness of thy glory. O God and Father, move, we pray. We long for thee. We yearn for thee. We need thee, O God. And we pray that thou wilt reveal thyself to us in this time of worship. And may the Spirit of God descend. And may the help of God be given. And may the power of God be known as we gather ourselves around the word. And so, Lord, fill the Reverend Stuart with the Holy Spirit. Come down upon thy people as they gather in their homes or in the cars and the car park. We pray that thou wilt bless everyone this day and give help from the throne. May there be a work done for eternity in every heart. May the saints be blessed. May there be a building up of their souls in their most holy faith. May those cold or careless be drawn to their first love. May those who are tossed to and fro with the winds of time, and even, Lord, by the winds of false doctrine, be brought to the stability of the truth and be brought to view Christ in his fullness and have their hearts exercised unto godliness. O Lord, we pray for those who are lost, that they will be rescued, that they will be delivered from going down to the pit, for thou hast found a ransom. And we pray, O Lord, that the Saviour's ransoming blood will set many free this day in that experiential sense of receiving the forgiveness of their sins and knowing and enjoying peace with God within their hearts. O Lord, visit, we pray, in power and in great might. We pray for our province. We pray, O Lord, for its people. We pray for all of our congregations, that thou wilt give help to every minister as he ministers the word by whatever means he's able to do so. We pray for others of like mind and like precious faith. God will move today and use his servants. We pray for our missionaries, that thou wilt bless them both in the homeland and on the foreign field. Lord, may the Holy Spirit move. May the power of God come down. May a work be done for eternity. And Lord, may there be fruit that will be brought forth that will remain and will redound to the praise and the honour of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so, Father, abide with us in this time of worship and abide with thy children across the face of this earth. You know them every one. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And we pray that thou wilt be gracious and merciful. We think of the day in which we live. O Lord, we rejoice today that thou art God. Beside thee, there is no other. We rejoice that thou art the King of nations. Thou art the sovereign ruler of the entire earth. And there is not a person whom you do not know. There's not a situation that you do not see. And, O Lord, we just leave all with thee. And we pray that thy will be done. We ask, O Lord, that thy name will be hallowed, that thy kingdom will come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. O Lord, we pray for the moving of thy Spirit. We pray for divine visitation. We pray that thou wilt move in power in our different nations and situations in which we find ourselves. O God and Father, remember today the raging pandemic. We think, Lord, of the thousands who have been swept away by it, on our own nation, never mind anywhere else. And, O God and Father, we pray that thou wilt help the frontline workers and hospitals and, O Lord, those who are grappling with us every day, worn to the point of exhaustion. Lord, remember them, draw near to them, and watch over them, we ask of thee, and help families who sorrow. Grant thy presence, O Lord, and, O God, deliver us. We yield to thy sovereignty, because thou art the one who is in charge of the affairs of men. And, O Lord, it is thine own righteousness and holiness going forth to meet the sinfulness of man that brings calamities upon the face of the earth. Lord, help men to see this and help them, O God, to realize that there's a God with whom they have to do and to him they must bow and yield. Otherwise, they will perish forever. O Lord, bring that home to people this day. And abide with us, O God, as we continue in thy presence. For all of this we ask in Christ's name and for his glory and for his everlasting praise. Amen and amen. We're going to have our next praise, which is hymn 691 on page 455. Jesus is our shepherd, his the voice we hear, folded in his bosom. What have we to fear? Yesterday we had a very good time of prayer, both in the morning and in the afternoon, organized by presbytery. And many joined in from across our congregations and other Christians from outside the Free Church, and we were glad to have them. And it was a blessed season in the morning and in the evening or the afternoon. And we believe God has led us to have these prayer times, and we're looking forward to further ones down the road. And let's all keep praying and looking to God, because here we've got a wonderful hymn. It's often referred to as a children's hymn, but it's a hymn that we all can sing. Jesus is our shepherd, his the voice we hear. And afterwards, Mr. Stewart will be coming to bring the Lord's message.
Wonderful hymn there, as Mr. Greer said, is found in our children's section of the hymn book, but tremendous truth is contained therein. I ask you to turn in God's Word, please, to Psalm 57, Psalm 57 for this morning's Word. So Psalm 57, and we'll read the whole of the Psalm together, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Psalm 57, just like to add my own words of welcome to those who have joined with us this morning. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless the message and the word that he has given to all our hearts. So Psalm 57, we'll hear God's precious word, and then we'll have a moment of prayer. And we will read the title as well. Let's hear the word of the Lord to the chief musician, Altashif, Michtam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. And then there's that word, Selah, which indicates a pause. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. Amen. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Let's take a moment of prayer, please, and ask for God's help in the delivery and in the hearing of his precious truth and his word. So let's take that moment, please, and come to our Father's throne of heavenly grace. Our gracious God and Father, we draw nigh unto thee, coming into thy holy presence. In the name of our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee as thy children, acknowledging that thou art our Father. We have been adopted into thy family, and we thank thee that thou art one who gives unto us good gifts. We thank thee for the blessed Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, that Christ, he said there in the New Testament that he would pray the Father, that he would send forth the Spirit. And we rejoice, O God, that the Spirit he has sent forth into our hearts, and we rejoice in him. We thank thee that he is the author of the book. We thank thee that he is the one who would, Lord, teach us and lead us into all truth. And to that end, we feel our own frailty and our great need of thee. We thank thee that the Holy Spirit has promised unto them that ask. So we humbly ask thee, Father, that thou would send forth the Holy Ghost. I pray for help as I would preach thy word. Let it come forth with power this morning to the hearts of thy dear people. Bless them abundantly, O God. Our minds are toward them, and we pray that through the word that you would encourage their souls. Lord, remember all who listen. Lord, shut out every distraction. Settle, Lord, every home. Lord, how easy we confess it is for things to come and grab the mind and, Lord, just even break into the train of thought. But we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will come, and Lord, that he would apply the word and subdue the atmosphere, solemnize, O God, that place where that individual would listen on, and may the word go forth with power. O God, hear us, we pray. Bring glory to thy dear Son. For these things I asked in my Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, a few weeks ago, we sang in morning worship this psalm, Psalm 57, and the words have not left me since. Reading Psalm 57 brings to mind the words of a familiar hymn, "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm." That hymn expresses the thought which is so frequently conveyed throughout the book of the Psalms and the whole of the Bible, that the Lord is a refuge for his people at all times, but especially when the storms of life are raging. This is a psalm that is for our instruction, a teaching psalm, one of six psalms written by David with the Hebrew word michtam in the title, which some believe to mean a golden psalm or a choice psalm. Psalm 57, it tells of a time when David ran and hid from King Saul, who sought his life. The storm of Saul's madness came upon David like a sudden and unceasing downpour. After David's anointing by Samuel, Saul, who had lost God's blessing because of his sin, became envious of the younger rival. The sounds of Saul's thunderous threats boomed over the calming tunes of David's harp. Spears like lightning bolts were hurled at the stripling who killed the giant of Gath, and the angry clouds of jealousy darkened the atmosphere of the palace as the people sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. There was nothing to do but for David to run to find shelter and refuge in this time of storm. Now, whether the cave that is mentioned refers to the cave of Adullam, where David fled from Gath, recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 22, or the cave of En-Gedi that is mentioned in 1 Samuel 24, we cannot tell. Some believe it to be the latter cave and support this view by another Hebrew word found in the title, that word Altasheth, which means destroy not. At En Gedi, if you can recall, Saul entered into the same cave in which David was hiding, as the scripture tells us, to cover his feet. And some of David's men thought that the opportunity to kill the one who was hunting David as a flea had come. But David said that day, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him." That day, David did not destroy Saul, though he had an opportunity, and some think this Hebrew word refers to that incident. Which cave this psalm speaks of, we do not know, but on both occasions, whether in the cave of Adullam or in the cave of En Gedi, David was feeling the strong winds blow upon him, and he needed a refuge. Although David may not have realized why God was allowing him to suffer, he did understand what God wanted from him in his suffering. David understood to ask the question, why in the midst of suffering, is to ask the wrong question. The proper question to ask is, God, what do you want from my life in the midst of this storm and as a result of this trial? The answer is, God wants to be glorified. And brothers and sisters, this is the theme of this psalm. There's two sections in this little psalm, each ending with a refrain found in verses 5 and verse 11. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Now, I know it can be easy for the preacher in these days to make application to coronavirus and refer to it as a storm. And that is true. But there are many spin-off effects and implications that have entered into society and into the hearts and minds of God's people because of it, indirect pressures which we can well correctly term storms of life. Dark, heavy clouds of worry concerning financial and educational matters. Mental and spiritual tempests whirling around in the mind. The fiery lightning bolts of the old adversary raining in upon you, and it seems like your soul is about to be swept away. It's times like these that we are glad that we have a shelter in the time of storm. And that's what I've entitled my sermon this morning, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. David had a refuge. And child of God, so do we. I believe with all my heart that there are God's people, and the storm that is blowing in upon your soul, it's very fierce. And the Lord has given this word for you this morning. Now let's consider these verses under three headings. Firstly, I want us to notice the repetition in David's supplication. The repetition in David's supplication, the opening words of verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. God's people most often cry to him for mercy. In 133 verses in the Psalms, David asked God for mercy. Sometimes multiple times in one verse as he does here. It's an appeal to God to consider him and to be pitiful and compassionate towards him. And the repetition, it shows David's deep earnestness, his distress, his fervency and importunity that he used in prayer. His case, it required a speedy answer, and he sought immediate relief. And he only expected that mercy and grace from God and no one else. David did not expect the enemies of Gath to show him mercy. After all, he had killed their champion, Goliath. He could not expect Saul to show him mercy. For Saul, he was filled with rage and jealousy. Only from God Could mercy be expected in such a miserable situation in which he found himself? And David pleads for mercy in his opening prayer, and finding he can't improve upon that petition, he returns to it and he asks again for mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. God is the Father of mercies. And it's most fitting, therefore, that in distress we should seek mercy from Him to whom it belongs infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably. This is a plea in supplication, and it is a plea that comes from one who is inferior to one who is superior. And the very definition of mercy, it implies this, for mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. David in verse 2, he tells us there, I will cry unto God Most High. That's how he refers to God, to one who is Most High. God is superior. God is supreme. God is sovereign. But though he is Most High, we have access to him in prayer just as David did. And this is something of a paradox. In these verses, for here, the one who is on high is actually with David in the lowliness of the cave. The Most High is nigh unto the most low. You get that into your heart, downhearted Christian. The Most High is nigh unto the most low. Those who are low in spirit. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? The Lord is nigh unto them who are of a broken heart. And that should encourage you, child of God. You're low. You're in the valley. You're in the slough of despond. And yet through Christ and His blood, you are brought nigh unto the one who is Most High. God was above the Gathites. God was above Saul and his 3,000 chosen men. God was above all of David's circumstances, viewing it as one who is set on high. And David makes his plea unto God, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Though David was despairing, he was still depending. Look again at verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. The word trusteth is the same Hebrew word that is translated refuge in this verse, and we'll think about that in a little while. But here we have an old English word, trusteth. It is the language of the Authorized Version, which we're so familiar with. Now, if you see that little suffix, if, E-T-H, at the end of the word, you can take it on the majority of occasions to indicate that the verb is in the present tense, a tense expressing an action which is currently going on or habitually performed. David was trusting God, and this was evidenced by his praying. Prayer in the storms of life is an acknowledgement that our need is not partial, but total. It testifies to God and to anyone else around, I am a dependent person. I'm not self-sufficient. I cannot handle this situation in my own strength. I am trusting. I came across a little statement that has blessed my soul lately, and I thought it to be very insightful. It's not so much that we pray because we believe in prayer, but we pray because we believe in God. And David doesn't say that he's trusting in his praying. No, he says his soul trusteth in thee. He is praying because he is trusting in his God. A God of whom David says in verse 2, unto God that performeth all things for me. And there's that little suffix, A-T-H again, performeth, a continual action. While David was praying, God was performing. Keep on praying, believer. Keep on praying in the darkness. God was continually working. He was bringing to pass the promise that he had made to David that one day he would be king. And yes, this did involve a time in a darkness of a cave. This was particular grace, for the performance of God was for me, David says. And doesn't that remind us of that wonderful verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? And we know that all things worketh together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The word performeth, it can also mean to bring to an end, to complete, to perfect. And that's how the Hebrew word is translated in Psalm 138 and verse 8. It says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, for the mercy, thy mercy, O Lord, endureth." Tempest-tossed believer, you might be thinking, you know, how am I ever going to make it through this storm that's raging in my soul? You remember that God is performing for you. And you can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, listen, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when our heart is breaking, this is all we can pray: be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. And that is a prayer that God hears. The repetition in David's supplication. Well, secondly, I want to draw to your attention the refuge in David's storm. Verse 1 again, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Now we could point out another repetition found in verse 1. For as I mentioned, the word trusteth is the same word as refuge. So we could read verse 1 like this: "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul will make my refuge in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." David goes on in verses 4 and 6 to speak about those calamities which he's experiencing. Look at them with me. "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." Verse 6, "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me." David is here describing the attacks of his foes. And it is his soul that is reeling in the storm. My soul, he mentions twice in these verses. You know, troubles may come to the body, but as we are one being, body and soul, those troubles, they do find their way into our souls. Physical danger or distress at times produces spiritual effects like anxiety and depression or new fears, and our souls, they need refuge from the storm until it passes by, and that refuge is God himself. Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Here in this context, David's hiding in a cave. But he didn't see the cave as his refuge. Rather, God was his refuge. God was his place of safety. Now, he did use a cave as a means. That was his human responsibility to do so. But he didn't trust in the cave. And we have already seen that his trust was in the Lord. How many there are today, and they're trusting in the means to keep them safe until the storm of COVID-19 passes, forgetting the one who is the true refuge of the soul. It's interesting when you study the life of David, especially when he was on the run from Saul. Jonathan was always able to find where David was hiding, but not Saul. Even with his 3,000 chosen men, Saul hunting the hills, going over, looking for this man, could never find David, but Jonathan always could. Now, what does that tell you and me? Well, it tells me that it wasn't the physical locations that provided shelter for David. Ultimately, it was the Lord himself who was David's hiding place. David speaks of his place of refuge using a metaphoric phrase, the shadow of thy wings. He uses a picture of baby chicks which take refuge under their mother's wings when a predator threatens or a storm is about to break. What of a beautiful picture of safety that is. Not the cold stone walls of a cave, but the warm, personal, loving protection of a bird's wings. And God reveals himself in language here, which accommodates our finite understanding and the limitations of our being. We can form a mental image in our minds of a chick coming under the wing, and so we have a truth impressed upon our hearts that God, he is not cold and indifferent to us in our storms, but rather he draws us near to himself, as if he's putting that loving wing around us. The metaphor of wings in relation to God is used 5 other times in the Psalms. Psalm 17, verse 8, 36, verse 7, 61, verse 4, 63, verse 7, and Psalm 91, verse 4, which says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust, or take refuge. It's the same word. Christ, he uses the analogy of wings referring to himself in Matthew 23 and verse 37. If you want to turn there, just to keep you active in your mind, Matthew 23, verse 37, familiar words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It's interesting that Christ would use this terminology, where the Hebrew word wing is translated skirt in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9, where we have Boaz, a type of the kinsman redeemer. He's spreading his skirt or his garment over Ruth as she lay at his feet. And that was a symbolic act that she had come under his care and that he would protect her. God has covenanted, or Christ has covenanted by the shedding of his precious blood, that he will preserve his bride, protect us, and take care of us. The kinsman Christ who is near us, the eternal Son who became the Son of Man. He is our refuge from the storm, as Isaiah 32, verse 2 prophesies. It tells us there in Isaiah 32 and the verse 2, and a man, yes, a man, the God-man, shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Christ is all this and much more to the child of God. Suffering and difficulties, they tend to drive us to self-pity. It's not true. But they ought to drive us towards the Savior's pity. Under his wings, I am safely abiding though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Sometimes the storm that rages in the soul, it seems like it will go on, but we have a word of hope that shines in the darkness. In verse 1, it's that word until. Until. Weather storms, they blow over. They don't last forever. And so does the storms of life. David says, until these calamities be overpassed. The circumstances which bring us into troubling and trying times, they will pass over. The great black plague of the Middle Ages that took half the population of Europe, it passed. The Spanish flu of the early 20th century, which is estimated to have taken in death 100 million people, it passed. The bird flu of 2005, it passed. The E. coli scare of 2006, it passed. The swine flu of 2009, it passed. The Ebola crisis of West Africa, it passed. Coronavirus will pass. And until it does, child of God, we have a refuge who will keep our hearts and minds. You might ask, what if I die before it passes? That, dear child of God, is just another way that the storms of life will pass from you forever. These things will pass. But in the meantime, we have a refuge in the storm, the refuge in David's storm. Finally, I want us to notice the rejoicing in David's song. The rejoicing in David's song. As far as we can tell, David is still in the cave in the rest of this psalm from verses 6 to verse 11. Saul is still the king. David is still the fugitive. His circumstances haven't changed much, if at all, and yet instead of self-pity and complaining, he breaks forth out into praise to God. And I mentioned this during one of the nights of prayer, that we see this in many of the Psalms, that they begin with petition and they end with praise. They begin with sorrow and they end with a song. They begin with despair and they end with delight. What ought to be our aim in life, especially in a time of trial and a storm? Well, if it is our own happiness to escape as quickly as we can from the storm, we're living for the wrong thing. Yet if our aim is to glorify and exalt God by trusting and praising Him, even in the midst of trials, we are fulfilling the purpose which the Puritans succinctly put was our chief end in life to do, to glorify God. David wonderfully looks up from his own urgent interest to his overriding concern that God should be exalted. And I mentioned this in the introduction, that this is the theme of the psalm, that God would be glorified. Verse 5, verse 11, same words. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David wanted God to be exalted through the trial. For David, it wasn't just help me, protect me, but do these things so that you are exalted. And child of God, you know, coronavirus, and it's coming in, and all the impact it has upon our lives and upon church life. But I pray that as you are thinking about it and praying for it, that you're not just simply asking God in a selfish manner, God, take this away for my sake, my happiness, because I want to get back to the house of God. Child of God, we all want to get back to the house of God. We all want these difficulties out of our lives, but we want God to remove this, and we want God to work through this, that we would be able to say to Him, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. if there's any other motive within your heart to pray for this virus to be removed, if it's a selfish motive, child of God, that is not your chief end. It's not. It's to glorify God. God's glory should be our aim at all times, but especially in time of trial. What does it mean to glorify God? Well, the Hebrew word for glory is kabod, which has the idea of weight, heaviness, worthiness, reputation, honor. It was used of men to describe a man of substance or weight. We would use it in a similar way when we say, you know, that man, that individual, they're a heavy weight in their field. When kabod is applied to God in the Bible, it refers to His intrinsic worth. It means that God is worthy of all honor because of who He is, a God who is perfect in His attributes and all His ways. Thus, to glorify God is to ascribe honor to God for who He is and for what He is doing. It means to show forth His excellencies, to exalt Him. And David would do this through praise. Now, even though the enemy had prepared a net, we read of that in verse 6, prepared a net for David to catch him. David fixed. That's the same Hebrew word as prepared. He fixed his heart to praise God. There we read in verse 7. There was repetition in his prayer, but here we have repetition in his praise. The twice repeated affirmation in verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, shows that it was a matter of deliberate choice for David. When he went on to say, I will sing and give praise. You know, sometimes we need to praise God even when we don't feel like it. Making a conscious, deliberate choice to do so. And you might think, isn't that hypocrisy? No, it's obedience. For everything with breath is commanded to praise the Lord. Hypocrisy doesn't mean doing things you don't like doing. Hypocrisy is trying to present a false impression to others so that you look better than you are. But praising God is a matter of obedience. And the test of obedience isn't when you feel like obeying, but when you don't feel like obeying and you still obey. The next time that you're going through a difficult trial, you're depressed, you're overwhelmed, follow David's lead here and set your heart to praise God. Get out a hymn book. Put on some Christian music and lift your voice to God in praise. That is not callous stoicism. That is an exercise of living faith. John Ryland wrote the words, sing though sense and carnal reason fain would stop the joyful song, sing and count it highest treason for a saint to hold his tongue. I tell you, praising God will help. For there's always a blessing for those who obey God. You know, David knew that he would not be in the cave forever. Therefore, he determined that when the storms and the gloom of his soul would pass over, he would tell others of the goodness of God. Look what it says in verse 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. And he focuses in really on two aspects of God's mercy. Two aspects that we have revealed in verse 3 and verse 10. We'll go to verse 10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. David was going to focus on God's mercy and God's truth, or God's faithfulness, we could say. And that's a good way to come out of the storm. Proving through it the surpassing sufficiency of God's mercy and faithfulness. When coronavirus passes and the storm, it goes away, will you be able to come out the other side and praise among the people and testify to the goodness of God, and especially to His mercy and His truth or His faithfulness, how He kept you? How many times you felt like going under, giving up, and it was all getting too much for you. What a good way to come out of the storm. The rejoicing in David's song. As I close, never forget that David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered calamities untold. In the days of his flesh, he was assaulted by the tyranny of both spiritual and temporal enemies. His temporal enemies, Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they furiously raged and took counsel together against Christ. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they were like those ferocious lions. They often laid a net for Christ's feet, trying to entrap him with a question: is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar? The people were set on fire as they raged against him, and their teeth and their tongues were spears and swords, crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." The devil, in tempting and troubling him, raged about him with satanic accusation, "If thou be the Son of God." What a storm of suffering Christ endured. But he especially suffered at the hands of God, the dark cloud of divine wrath, for our sin burst upon him in 3 hours of darkness at Calvary's tree. The lightning bolt of the sword of divine justice pierced his soul. But his calamities, praise God, they're now overpast. He is exalted, and his glory is now known among the nations. And all these things make him fit to be our refuge in a time of storm. Child of God, there is a storm raging inside your heart, your mind this morning. Your family don't know about it. Your ministers don't know about it. Your friends don't know about it, and it's coming in all upon you. There is a blessed refuge. Run to Him. If all you can pray is, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me," that will be sufficient. Hide yourself in Christ and His redeeming work. Ask Him to perform for you all His good purpose, and covenant in your heart that you will praise Him and you will rejoice and testify of His goodness when you come out the other side. I have changed the pronouns of this last song to apply it to our church family in Ballymena. In the dark of the midnight, have we oft hid our face, while the storms howl about us, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear our cry. Keep us safe till this storm passes by. It will pass by. And we just look to God to keep us safe as a people. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, and may he give you comfort and grace and strength even from his precious word. Let's bow in prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, O God, we thank thee. We do thank thee that thou art the one who hears prayer. And when our hearts are breaking and the storms of life are raging, and all we can find to say is, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. We thank thee that thou art a God who is plenteous in mercy. We thank thee for the refuge that is Christ Jesus. We thank thee, Lord, that he has covenanted to preserve his bride, to protect us and care for us. O God, help us to praise thee and magnify thy holy name. Remember the members and friends of this congregation here. O God, we pray for each and every one. Keep us safe until this storm passes by. Lord, keep thy dear people. Keep their feet from falling. Give them grace to go on with thee. Shelter them neath thy precious blood. Remember the word, bless it for thy sake. And we pray, O Father, that tonight that thou will give help to thy servant, the Reverend Greer, may he know that anointing and the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that thou would bless, Lord, all thy dear people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be the portion of all thy people, both now and forevermore. And in the words of that wonderful hymn, spread thy loving wings around until all our wanderings cease, and all our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace. Hear prayer, accept of our thanks, for I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.